Let's see if we can get some help from the Lord for our lives. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 12. I'll begin reading in verse number 1. And I do ask you to not let the familiarity of the text to rob you of blessing. If you're not careful when you're asked to turn to a passage of Scripture that's familiar, one that you've heard preached from or you've memorized or you've read it and you've heard it taught numerous times, if we're not careful, then we'll think, well, I already heard that, and we'll just kindly be, you know, have a leisure attitude and just kindly, you know, kindly just turn it off somewhat and just kindly endure. But keep in mind, we're not reading out of a catalog. You know, if you read Little Red Riding Hood once, you've done squeezed everything out of it you're going to get. But the Bible is different. The Bible is inexhaustible. The Bible is alive and quick and powerful, and we've yet to explore its depths. We've yet to found its boundaries. You know, so the Word of God will never cease to speak to us if we'll have our ears open to receive the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Of course, we go ahead and read verse 3, "For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Our main focus today will be in verse 1 and 2. So keep your Bibles open and join with me in a word of prayer before we bring the message this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Bible that you've not only inspired and but also preserved for us, that we can have a copy of it today and read it with confidence. Lord, that it is in fact the Word of God for us today. I pray you'll speak to us, Lord, through the service, speak to us and through us. Lord, I pray your will be done, Lord. Every person in this building, Lord, is in need of the message this morning, including this preacher. And our Father, you've been working in my heart about these verses and the topic at hand today for some time. And so I pray that you will help us now as we endeavor to deliver the message. Lord, give us hearts to receive it and wills to obey. Help us to have ears to hear it, Lord. Our Father, please help us. We're needy. But we do know, Lord, that you will not force yourself on us. Lord, you're a perfect gentleman, and you will honor our will, whether it would be a will of reception or a will of rejection. You'll honor that. And Lord, I just pray you'll help us today, Lord, that we'll reach out to you and ask you to help us and change us, Lord. Convict us. Lord, deal with us in God, whatever area, Lord, that we need it. And Lord, we pray before we preach this morning, those among us that don't know you as their personal Savior, I pray the Holy Spirit will deal with them, Lord, and draw them to your wonderful self. Lord, we pray this morning also for those that are not here. Maybe some are sick today. We don't know. Maybe some are on vacation or whatever. But I pray wherever they are, Lord, that you would just minister to them. And Lord, keep them safe and bring them back unto us again to feed on the good things of God. What you've done in the Sunday school hour, Lord, we've already blessed you for that, feeding our soul from your Word. We anticipate now, Lord, to look into the pages of your Word. Lord, please give us that special anointing today. Lord, help the people in the congregation to breathe a prayer for the preacher. Lord, we need anointed preaching today. We don't need performance. Lord, we don't need someone to just go through the act of preaching. Lord, we need that powerful from heaven anointed unctionized preaching the day. Lord, we've got to have it. Stir us up. May we never be the same as a result of the service today. And we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, glory to God. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, I want to read verse number 1 again, if I may. Verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now, I mentioned earlier that we have revival coming up here in just a few days. It'll be here before you know it, far as the beginning service. But it could already be begun in our hearts even now. And I hope that we'll purpose for that to take place this morning. But what is stated in verse number 1 and 2 of Hebrews chapter 12, my friend, if we would line up with it, any of us and all of us, it would be for sure to bring revival to our heart. How in the world could you and I lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us? Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. How could we do that without being revived? It's impossible. Amen. If we have revival, it'll be because of what we do. And if we don't have it, it'll be because of what we didn't do. That's just bottom line. Amen. I believe that. David prayed, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee." I believe personally that Paul is the author, or the penman rather, of the book of Hebrews. I personally believe that. You can be wrong if you want to. But amen, I believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I believe there's verification of that. But anyway, I want you to notice that is a custom with Paul. Many times when he would try to relate a spiritual truth, he would use an earthly illustration. Paul was known for being a great, great Bible preacher and a Bible teacher. He used examples, and most of you know that many times he would use the example of a soldier to relate spiritual truth to the believer. And then he would use a farmer on occasions when he would deal with sowing and reaping and planting and so forth. And God giving the increase to seed sown. He'd use a farmer. But as in our text, also with other places, Paul used the terminology of a runner, an athlete, one that would run the race that is set before us. Now that meant something to these Hebrew believers. They knew what Paul was talking about when he was talking about running a race. They were familiar with those Grecian games of those in that day and hour. And so Paul is trying to relate to us and tell us that you and I are runners. You and I are spiritual runners, and there is a race that we're to run. And we are to run it with patience. That is, we're to run it with endurance. Amen. Being saved requires endurance. Not to be saved, not to stay saved, but thank God because we are saved. Amen. That's right. And but there was something that stuck out to my mind and my heart a good while back, and I've been working on it off and on, and just trying to get the mind of God. But the Bible said in verse number 1, "And let us lay aside every weight." That word weight, I'll deal with it more in depth later, but one of the definitions of the word weight is hindrance. He's saying there is a hindrance that we need to deal with. Let us lay aside every weight, every hindrance, and the sin which doth so easily, that's the word that jumped off the page at me, that which doth so easily beset us. And what I got to thinking about how easy it is to be hindered. How easily we can be hindered. How hindrances can so easily affect us in an ill and a negative way. Amen. Now you're either going to deal with hindrances or hindrances are going to deal with you. Now that's just the way it is. Amen. And it'll help you to deal with hindrances if you recognize the hindrances are dealing with you. They're not just in your life. They're not just a thing in your life. It's not just there. It's dealing with you. A hindrance means it's hindering. It's affecting you. Amen? Amen. Well, I want to talk about that this morning, Lord willing, and tonight as well, about being easily hindered or dealing with hindrances. Amen? And I want to say this, that our problem today is not really behind us. Our problem is not before us. Amen. Behind us are the cloud of witnesses. Before us is the one that we're looking at, is Jesus. Looking unto Jesus before us. Our problem is us. Our problem, our hindrances are with us. Now, I won't get done with this, so don't try to get in a hurry and say, oh, all right, next point, because I'm going to, by the grace of God, try to squeeze every bit of the juice out of it that I possibly can. Amen. All right, the first thing I want us to begin to look at, my friend, this morning, in dealing with hindrances, number one, there must be a complete removal of the hindrance. That'd be a good time for all to call right there. God's Word is calling for a complete removal of the hindrance. It is God's Word that says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. So God is calling for that. God is asking for that. God shows us in illustration here why we should lay that aside. But now I want to look at three things, and this I'll do good to get these three things. I'll do good to get them this morning. Amen. Y'all stay with me now. All right. I know it's warm, and I'll be sweating. Don't worry about it. All right. Amen. But I want to point out three things. Let me just give them to you, and then I'll come back and deal with them. About far as a complete removal of the hindrance, complete removal. First of all, I want to say a few things about the attitude toward the hindrance. And then I want to talk about the action toward the hindrance. And then I want to talk about the access through the hindrance. Now that's the three things that I try to deal with this morning, but I doubt I'll get past number two, because number two's a big one. The action. Let's go back and look at the attitude. Before there ever could be an action, there's got to be an attitude. Attitude determines action. If your attitude is not what it needs to be, or mine either, toward a hindrance in my life, then be sure I won't deal with it. But if I have the right outlook, if I have the right, my friend, if I have the right attitude toward a hindrance, then it will encourage me to action. I just want to ask you this morning a question. What is your attitude toward your personal hindrances? That's not a matter. It's not a matter of whether you've got a hindrance or not. Amen. Now, if I were to look around and see a few halos in the house and some angel wings or whatever, then I'd probably think maybe there's some of you that don't have any. But I don't see no halos. Amen. And you'll notice there's not one up here. Amen. There's not a halo nor wings. There might be a horn or two. Amen. But I want to tell you this morning, all of us have hindrances. All of us have things in our life that God wants out. Now, we may not want them out. Now, that's where the problem comes in. We want in what God wants out. And a lot of times we want out what God wants in. And therefore we are suffering spiritually. But what is our attitude toward our hindrances? Now, you'll do one of two things. You'll either excuse them, which most of the time that's what happens, or else you will seek to execute them. If you look at your hindrances as a pet, you will pet on it and feed it and allow it to stay in your life. But if you look at it as a viper or an enemy, my friend, then you will seek for execution. Not any of you, I'd say, would look at a rattlesnake and seek to pick it up and say, oh, look at that little precious thing. Have any walking down the trail through the woods and you saw a coiled up rattlesnake and it's giving the sound and you know what that means, and how many would just stop and say, well, look, honey, bring the kids. What a wonderful sight, and the closer we can look at it, the better.
Would you do that? No! You'd look at it as an enemy. You'd look at it as an instrument of death. And you'd seek to get away from it at the first and then plot a measure of killing it. Now, you animal lovers, I'm sorry, but I'm going to kill everyone I find. Amen. That's right. Brother Mays Jackson said, I hate five types of snakes. He said, I hate big ones and little ones, live ones and dead ones, and rubber ones. Amen. He said, I hate them all. Amen. But what is your attitude toward your hindrances? Most of the time, I'm afraid our churches are suffering spiritually because we have the attitude of tolerance. We have the attitude, it's not so bad. I wrote down about five attitudes that, my friend, a lot of people have toward their hindrances that causes them not to deal with it. Here's one. And there's more, I'm sure, but I just wrote these down. Number one, some might not deal with their hindrances because of this attitude. They're not so bad. How many has allowed hindrances? How many times have I allowed hindrance in my life when I look at it as not so bad? Not so bad. That's not so bad. You know, it's not too bad. I don't know why the preacher rants and raves about that. It's not really that detrimental. It's not really that destructive. I don't know why the Holy Spirit seems to be constantly putting His finger on that in my life. I don't understand that because it's just a little thing after all. It's not that bad. And a second attitude is they're not as bad as others. An attitude toward a hindrance in your life which is hindering your progress, that which is hindering your advancement, that which is hindering your accomplishment spiritually, my friend, guess what? Would you look at it and say that there's not as bad as others? Well, I look at old so-and-so, man, they've got some really bad hindrances. I look at my wife or my husband or my children or my parents, and I could see, man, what a hindrance. And if we're not careful while the preaching's going on, we'll do this. Man, that's getting them, preacher. My soul, boy, you laid up. You may not tell me that or your wife or husband that, but in your heart you're thinking, my soul, he is getting them. We'll have to call 911 on that crowd. We'll have to help them get to the car. Man, they're getting it this morning. But what about you? My grandmother's mother, which would be my great-grandmother, I guess it would be. And her name was Tex. And what a name. I don't know where they got all them names back then. And so I heard Daddy and him call her Aunt Tex, you know. Well, the preacher was preaching one morning. I mean, he was blowing it out and ripping it up, you know, like them old timers used to do. And preaching, I mean, just blowing it out. And Miss Aunt Tex come out, or Grandma, Great Grandma Tex come out and told the preacher, said, "Boy, you got them today. You got them today, preacher. I mean, you got them today." And the preacher said, "But what about you?" She said, "It didn't touch a hair on my back." Amen. I've heard my grandma tell that several times. How many times you done that? What is good preaching, preacher? I'm glad they were here to get it. Huh? I believe this. Every time you come, there ought to be something through the message that's for you. Amen. There ought to be something through there. If you'll look and listen, you'll get something. Amen. But the second attitude is, they're not as bad as others. Amen. A third attitude, oh mercy. The third attitude of maybe keeping you from dealing with your hindrance is, others are doing it. Looking around at you, maybe even some in the household of faith, even some in your house, here at the house of God, and you look around and you say, and I've even heard people say that. I've even heard people use people as an excuse when I personally would deal with them. When I personally would deal with somebody about something, and that is my prerogative as a pastor. Amen. Whether you deal with it or not, your business, but I can point it out if I feel led to do so. Amen. Amen. And I've pointed it out in some, and I've said, you did deal with this. This is in your life. I can see this. And they've pointed out others in our church and said, but they do this. And they do that. Hello? Amen. Come on, adults. If I were to deal with any of these young people about anything, and they would point out one of our adults in this church, my friend, as an excuse, because you're doing it or doing worse, shame on you. Amen. Well, we're going to have a good time, I can tell. But that's the third attitude. Others are doing it. Here's another one, a fourth attitude that will interfere with hindrances or dealing with hindrances. It would be more of a struggle to stop it than it would be to just allow it to stay, preacher. That's an attitude. Well, preacher, if I know this is a hindrance, but you know what, preacher? It'd take more. It'd be more aggravating. It'd be more stressful. It'd be more of a battle. It'd be more of a struggle to deal with it than to just allow it to stay in my life. That's an attitude. Oh, Lord, help us. Amen. Well, that's the truth, isn't it? I've seen that in my own life. My soul. I mean, some of them things, brother, that you have to cut out is deep-rooted. Amen? Amen. Amen. It's good. I like it. Here we go. Number five, the fifth attitude. And we could say more about a lot of these, but I want to get into number two. Okay, some of you is not coming back tonight. Number five, the fifth attitude is this. If I deal with this, some people won't like me. How many people would that be true? Now, that may not be as popular as the other four, but that one is still true. Maybe even with some young people that have hindrances in your life. You're not on fire for God. You don't have a consistent Bible life, reading of the Word of God, prayer life. Why? Because you know that if you get fired up for Jesus, that some of your so-called friends, my friend, will have nothing to do with you. Because they like you as a carnal somebody. It's going to get better. Hang on. Amen. I mean, they like you as being carnal and fleshly and worldly and loose. They like you listening to their music. They like you talking their language. Amen. They like that. And you know that if you were to get on fire for God, I mean head over heels in love with Jesus. Sink or swim going with Jesus. Amen. That a lot of that crowd would cut you off, and you know it. And I've said this before, and I don't mean to get off here and preach long on this, but I believe it's worth mentioning that you young people that are not married, you better make sure that whoever falls in love with you do not fall in love with you when you are carnal. You better make sure that whoever starts liking you and pursues a relationship with you, my friend, is not falling in love with you when you're 40 miles out of the will of God. Because I'm telling you as a saved person, somewhere in life, somewhere in the future, you young people, there'll be a time that you'll want to get back in the favor of God. There'll be a time you'll want to get back right with the Lord. And my friend, if that person likes your carnal side, and all of a sudden you make moves spiritually to get right with God, you're going to have problems. Best thing to do is get full of God. Get full of the Spirit of God. Amen. Walk in the light of God's Word. Be faithful to the things of God. Hate sin. Stand against unrighteousness. And if then they like you, then that speaks volumes of them. Well, amen. That's enough preaching on that. But some won't deal with hindrances because they know that so-and-so and such will not be attracted possibly to them if they were spiritual. Amen. We will only seek the removal of hindrances as we view it as a hindrance. Talking about our attitude. Amen. To lay aside a hindrance, we must first recognize the danger of it and the negative effects of it. What it's keeping us from. What it's taking away from us. Amen. If we allow, if it is allowed to remain. Listen, I want to read this. It will be allowed, if you don't look at it that way, it will be allowed to remain as long as you look at it and think of it with favor, acceptance, and tolerance. Amen. I'm talking about the attitude. What is your attitude toward hindrances? Amen. Amen. If we don't get this point, we won't get another message this morning or tonight. Because everything that I'm going to preach comes out of this. If we don't have the right attitude toward things in our life, my friend, guess what? We won't deal with it. We won't deal with it if we don't have the right attitude. Amen. Amen. Now then, let's go get the shovel. The attitude toward hindrances speaks of our desire. Each one of these 3 points is going to have a D word beside of it that expresses it. The attitude toward the hindrances is our desire. What is your desire? If you don't have no desire, you're going to let some things stay in your life that ought not to stay. Right. Amen. So, let's move on and deal with number 2. I can't wait to deal with this one. The action toward the hindrance. The action. This Bible in verse 1, Hebrews 12, shows us there ought to be some action involved. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. This is action. There is action called for in the Word of God. And boy, that's where people get crossed up. Amen. You can preach on attitude, and a lot of people won't get too upset. But you start dealing with action. Start dealing with, the D word for this point is discipline. Discipline. Dealing with things in your life that may not feel so good, just like that runner, my friend, has to be disciplined in his diet, has to be disciplined in his development. Amen. A lot of that is not easy. Don't feel good. But he knows, I've got to do this if I'm going to compete or if I'm going to run in full potential. Amen. That's why I never was a runner. Amen. I did it some, but I never was much at it because I wouldn't that bad to get up before daylight and run 3 or 4 miles. For school, you think I was going to... You know why I didn't do it? I wasn't disciplined and I really didn't value the race that much. You know that? Oh, yeah. You know, that's probably the reason a lot of people don't want to deal with things in their life. It's because, really, they don't value the race. They don't value the one they're running for. The country they're representing. Amen. But anyway, let me deal with this. The action. If you don't mind being hindered, then you won't mind the hindrance. Did you get that? Amen. God just give me some of these things. Just wrote them down. If you don't mind the hindrance, if you don't mind being hindered, then you won't mind the hindrance. Now, what's this right here? Well, it's good. If I can lay it aside, and the Bible does say lay aside every way, does it not? Are you still with me? If I can lay it aside, well, this is good. If I can lay it aside, then hindrances come by things that I can deal with. That's good. That is good. Amen. Our hindrances, my friend, are not coming from things we can't touch, things we can't deal with, things that's out of our reach. No, our hindrances come from things the Bible says that we can lay aside. Anybody under conviction besides me? Amen. That's what we want. I want God to deal with me this morning. Amen. Now watch this right here. Now of course it's easy to note that let us, the term, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Let us, that means it's our responsibility. Let us do it. It's not the preacher's responsibility. It's not even what God's going to do. God is saying to you, if you want to run full potential, if you want to progress, if you want to advance, if you want to, my friend, attain the future goals and blessings of life, my friend, He said, these are some things you need to deal with. Amen. Now, a lot of people want a spirituality that's automatic. A lot of people want a spirituality, my friend, that's easy. But God says, here it is. Your life is going to be consistent dealing with laying aside some things. Dealing with some things. And it's our responsibility. Could I make this statement? Revival comes on let me say it this way. The door of revival swings on the hinges of responsibility. If we have revival, let me make it personal. If I have revival in this revival coming up or before it ever gets here, if I have revival, friend, it'll be because I acted in obedience and was responsible to deal with things in my life. Man, that's good preaching if I am doing it. Lord, help us. Now we're going to get some good stuff here. Now, this, what's this right here? This is not just my idea. I'm going to tell you behind the truth of it. Listen, this action is to be self-performed. And I say that where it says, let us lay aside, that is in the middle voice. Amen. Now, don't let that scare you. I can study. I'm not an English scholar, but I can study. That term, let us lay aside every weight and sin, that is in the middle voice. And that simply means the subject is performing the action upon himself. And that's basically what I just got through telling you. Let us means we're to do it. We're to do it to ourselves. Amen. Boy, if we would be as quick to deal with ourselves as we would be to maybe want to deal with others. Are you listening? I mean, if we would listen. Boy, now, hey, come on now. We've got 20/20 vision when it comes to dealing with everybody else. We can see, I'm talking about, we can see the smallest faults in their life. I believe that's given an example in Matthew 7. The brother that saw the mote in his brother's eye, which is nothing but a little particle, just a little speck, just a little speck. Quick to notice that, 20/20 vision. But what he could not see was he had a railroad tie in his own eye. That's what the Bible said. He had a beam in his own eye. Seemed to me like if I had a railroad tie sticking out of my eye, it'd distort my vision of being able to help you with the little things in your life. But that's human nature. We can see beams before we can see particles. I got that backwards. We can see particles before we can see the beams. We can see the motes before we can see the beams. We can see what's wrong with others before we can see what's wrong with us. Amen. Yeah, I just thought I'd let all of us know here this morning, including me, we're not near what we think we are. Lord, preacher, you're nailing it too tight. Well, I'm preaching the Bible right here. It is, amen. Now, watch this right here. By the way, that word "let us lay aside" is a verb, and that we all know. What little we do know about English verbs is action. If we have revival, it's going to come from action. Amen. I wonder how many in here this morning is willing to perform some action, or amen. How many is willing to perform some action on some hindrances in your life? Amen. All right, let's go a little deeper. We're just barely getting through the skin now. We're going in on deeper. Amen. The word lay aside. The word lay aside, it's not a friendly word. It's not a friendly word. In fact, it means to put away. It means to cast off. It means to lay aside, to put off, or to put away. Now here's how we deal with hindrances. We've all got them, but here's how we do it. We've got them. We come to church with them. And you know, when the preacher gets to preaching, or else we get under conviction a little bit, and we think, I need to lay that aside. Amen. Preach on and testify. Praise God. I have this weakness and this hindrance in my life. I want everybody to know, glory to God, I laid it aside. But as soon as the preacher says, you're dismissed.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
You may not pick it up after the service. You may wait till Monday morning. You may wait till it's time to go to work. You may wait till it's time to go to school. You may wait till you can look around and nobody's looking. And then pick it back up. And then we tote it around. And it's hindering us, keeping us from our progress and our potential. And guess what else we'll do? And then God gets to dealing with us and we'll lay it down again. We make sure where we lay it down is not too far from us. Then we'll pick it back up. But this term here, my friend, deals with laying it aside. That is, casting it off. Casting it away. Now I'm going to deal with it. Listen, we're doing a little preaching, a little bit of teaching, and we're fixing to get some deep stuff right in here in the next little bit. Hope you can follow. Hope we can get in on it. This word for lay aside, I'm not going to pronounce it. It's about that long, a Greek word. But it's made up of two words. I told you to lay aside is not a friendly term. It is strong. And I want to give it to you. It's made up of two words. The first one is just APO. APO is the first part of that word. And it means, it speaks of separation. A separation of a part from the whole. Listen to this. It means a separation of one thing from another by which the union or fellowship between the two is destroyed. Can I put a word in your mouth? Wow! To lay aside is two words. The first one means separation, putting a separation between two parts, which produces a destruction between the union. Amen. Putting a separation from you, my friend, let that union between you and that hindrance be destroyed. That's strong, isn't it? Amen. It speaks of putting distance between two things, two objects. All right. The second part of that word, I pronounced it at house, but I'm not going to here. It's on tape. But the second part of that word means to set or to put down, lay down. In other words, if you hook them together, it has the meaning to put away, to put down, as I gave the definition, to put down. Amen. To put away. Put separation between you. Destroy the union between you and it. Okay. Now then, let's go a little bit further. We're still talking about the action toward the hindrance. What are we to deal with? The Bible says every weight. Now, most of us will deal with some weights. We might deal with a big one, but let the little one stay. And I know some probably dealt with little ones, but let big ones stay. But here it says, Brother Brian, let us lay aside every weight. You know what the definition of every is? Strong's Concordance, every means all. Boy, that's deep. Did you get it? Went right over your head, didn't it? Every means all. Every means everyone. Every means every way. Every means the whole. All manner of, whatsoever, thoroughly. Boy, if we could just get thoroughly clean and thoroughly right with God, deal with all the hindrances in our life, revival would be on us. We'd be in revival right then. All right. Now then, I want to deal with the word wait a minute. The word wait, I've already told you that it means a hindrance. But it also means a burden, an encumbrance, a bulk, a mass. This is referring to any obstruction or hindrance that would handicap our progress. Boy, I'm fixing to give you something the Lord showed me and gave to me as a help. All right, listen to this. The word here rendered weight means that which is crooked. You got any crooked ways in you? Amen. It means that which is crooked or hooked. And thence, anything that is attached or suspended by a hook. How many of you ever been through the briar thicket or the weed patch and got introduced to cucklebirds? How many of you knows what a cucklebird is, if I'm pronouncing it right? Well, there's a few of you that's been out of the house. I'll tell you, them's the most aggravating things that ever was. Listen. You don't have to go looking for them. They'll find you. And I'm going to tell you, buddy, if you even get close, remotely close, them things, the way they're made, have you ever looked at them? The way they're made, I mean, buddy, they'll just latch on to you. And when you pull off of it, when you pull it off, you can feel it just like Velcro. In fact, that's where they made Velcro from. They got the idea from Velcro the Velcro idea from a cucklebird. So you learned something. It paid you to come to RBT this morning. Because each one of them little old things that's sticking out on a cucklebird, right at the very end of it, has got a little hook on it. And you look at Velcro, that's what it is. It's got a little hook on it. One part's fuzz and one part's hook. A hindrance is that which is hooked on you and attached to you. That's good. And is suspended by a hook. Amen. Just like a cucklebird. But you know what a hindrance is? It's not permanent. It can be pulled off. And I'm going to tell you what's the truth. I never have went through, rabbit hunting or whatever and come up and look and I've got cucklebirds all over me. I never have looked at them things. Well, you know what? Them looks good. I believe I'll wear that to church Sunday. You know what I start doing immediately? I just start grabbing it and throwing them up, pulling it off. You know why? It's aggravating. It's annoying. It don't hurt. It's not hurting me. Oh, there's your good one. Hindrances may not hurt. They may just be an annoyance. And I just knowing they're there bothers me. I mean, they're little. They're not no bigger than the end of my little finger. But it bothers me that they're there. And I feel better about it when they're gone. Say amen right there. Amen. 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 And usually when you get cucklebirds on, you get beggar lice on you as well. Amen. Well, anyway, no need to ask you if you know what that is. Some of you don't, I can tell. Hey, man. Some of you need to go on an adventure in the woods. Find out what a cuckabur is and say, I believe I've seen that in my spiritual life before. Amen. Hey, I want to tell you what you can do, but you'll have to want to do it. If I hadn't have took and pulled them cuckaburs off, I got some on me the other day. If I hadn't have pulled them off, I'd have took them all away to the house with me. Yeah, a lot of people take their hindrances home. Oh, yes. All right, can I give you this? This is going to be good right here. I want you to turn back to Luke chapter number 2. This is good right here. I got curious about the first mention. You know, I do that sometimes. The first mention. Where is this word, wait, used the first time? Let me give you the definition, and we're going to show you the first mention, and boy, is it illustrated, both positive and a negative, what should be and what should not be in this passage. But in Luke chapter 2, here's the definition of the word wait. The word wait comes from this word,
where we get our word ache or a bend of the arm. Now don't ask me how that is. It just that's the information I got. And guess what? The first time it's used in the Bible is in Luke chapter 2, and it's translated arms. Now watch this right here. Boy, this is good. Everybody ready? Luke 22, this is about Simeon. In verse 25, Simeon was told by the Holy Spirit in verse number 26 that he would not see death till he sees the Lord's Christ. That is, he'd see Christ that would be born and he would see him. Well, in verse number 27, he came by the Spirit in the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, here we go, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said. Now I'm not preaching on Simeon. I'm talking about here what's illustrated in light of our text that we're preaching out of in Hebrews 12. I told you that the Greek word translated wait comes from a word, and I've got the word before me, I just can't pronounce it. A-G-K-O-S. And it means a bend or an ache of the arm. You say, how is it illustrated in Luke chapter 2? He had his arms full. Simeon had his arms full. And thus, he was hindered to do anything else. He couldn't hold anything else. And I want to deal with it negative first, and then we'll deal with it positive. Negatively, because of what he had in his arms, he couldn't do nothing else. What he had in his arms, or had his arms around, had a hold of, served as a hindrance for him doing anything else. What is a hindrance in your life is what you've got a hold of. Now we'll deal with the sin. That's what's got a hold of you. The hindrance is what you've got a hold of. Sin is what's got a hold of you. But here it shows us that the hindrance is what you've got your arms a hold of. What you're a hold of. Amen? Now listen. That's a hindrance. What you've got a hold of. Amen. All right, look at this. Let me just read some of this stuff here. Amen. The word means, here, talking about the arm, the Greek word means the curve or the inner angle of the arm, the bent arm. Referring to what you are holding on to or carrying, even to the point of aches and pains, is what is going to hinder you in doing anything for God. It suggests that his arms was full. No more room for anything else. Or that he couldn't do anymore. His arms were full. The weight here is something that you're holding on to. What are you holding on to this morning that you know is a hindrance? I don't want you to answer that. At least outwardly. I want you to answer that inwardly. What is in your life that's a hindrance? And you know you're holding on to it. It would have already been gone if you hadn't been holding on to it. And if we stay too with our illustration in Luke 2, the hindrance is what he reached and got. You say, preacher, what's the parallel? Now there's a positive here, the fact that he was holding on to Jesus, and I'm going to show you that here in just a minute. But the negative illustration with our text, the first time it's used is the word arms, and it's used to show Simeon having his arms full. Y'all not getting that. You'll have to think about it. You'll have to think about it. It's there. It's true. Amen? But what he reached and got, listen, it wasn't forced on him. He reached and got it. Your hindrances has not been forced on you. Your hindrances, my friend, has been what you've reached and got. It's what you've got a hold of. It's what you're embracing. Amen? All right. Now then, let's turn it around. What's the positive? Now we all know that Jesus is not a hindrance.
Simeon holding Jesus is not a hindrance. We all know that. And that's what ought to be in our life. Instead of us holding a hindrance, let's hold Him. Hallelujah. And when we're holding Him, there won't be any room for any more hindrances within our hold. Amen. Amen. Let's trade. You know what the key of revival is? Trading hindrances for Him. Amen. That's revival. That's what will stir anybody's life, is to trade off hindrances for Him. But here's the truth. If I'm willing to hold hindrances, then I am not holding Him. Why would anybody, especially a child of God, why would any child of God choose to embrace a hindrance instead of embracing Him? You make a choice at what you're going to hold on to. A hindrance or Him? What's your arms around? Amen. What you've got a hold of? What are you embracing? Is it Him? Or is it a hindrance? I thought that was good myself. But we're talking about the actions of hindrances. The Christian life is going to be dealing with attachments and detachments all the way to the graveyard. I mean, constantly. Y'all agree with that? It's true, whether we do or not. I mean, it's a fact. Your life, I've been saved soon. I'm finishing up 27 years of being saved, Brother Clipper. And my life has been consistent dealing with attachments and detachments. Things that's getting in my life that don't need to be there that I need to get detached from. And things that does need to be in my life that I'm getting detached from that I need to be attached to. Amen. Amen. Hope you're getting this. Detachments are necessary. You say, but preacher, I don't know. Detachments are necessary. Look at the word easily right quick. I'll be done here in just a moment. We'll just finish up here. He said, we're to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. The word easily there, it means without difficulty. Or with great labor. He said we're hindered by things, my friend, that does not require difficulty. It's not difficult for a hindrance to hinder you. It's an easy thing. The Bible says we're easily beset by these weights. We're easily. It's just an easy thing without difficulty. He said, we're easily beset. That word, beset, my friend, it has the meaning to be surrounded or to be enclosed, to be hemmed in, to be pressed in on all sides. Have you ever felt that way? Felt like every way you turned, there was a hindrance, there was a hindrance, there was a hindrance, and there was a hindrance, and there was a hindrance? Amen? To be surrounded, enclosed, hemmed in, pressed in on all sides, to be entangled. To be besieged as with enemies. God's Word says we're easily beset. We're easily surrounded. We're easily, my friend, hemmed in. And that's what the devil wants to do to all believers, is to hem us in. My friend, surround us all the way around to where every way you look is negative. Every way you look is gloom and doom to the point that you give up. That's what the devil wants you to do, is to think there's no way out. Because the enemy's plot and plan, my friend, in the Scriptures was, if we can surround you, we've got you. Because you have no exit, there's no way out. Amen. Boy, the devil wants you to think that. And that's, listen, the weights in your life is not your friend. Why allow things in your life that are being destructive to your spiritual life? Why allow things in our life that are being, my friend, like an enemy to us that's besetting us? Amen. Well, amen. We're talking about the action. Let me deal with this right quick. Give me just a minute here. We've talked about the attitude about our hindrance. That deals with our desire. Do we really want to go further with God?
Do we really want to go further with God? Do we really want to run the race? Do we really want to progress? Do we really want to advance? And I'll be honest with you, most of God's people do not. Sad, but they're settled down. They're saved. They're going to heaven. They say, glory, hallelujah. I don't want to grow though. I don't want to go no further. I don't want to do no more. What attitude is that? That's not good, is it? But the attitude of hindrances deals with our desire. The action toward hindrances deals with discipline. And then there is the access through hindrances. Deals with destiny. And what's this right here? If that door right there is a hindrance to me. If that door right there is a hindrance to me. I'm going to have to go through that hindrance to get somewhere. Talking about destiny. If I'm going to progress and advance and go further and go forward and get in on the things that God has for me in the future, my friend, amen, I'm going to have to go through my hindrance. That's why the hindrance is there, to serve as a restriction. The hindrance is put in the path of your race to keep you from going forward. And if you're to go forward, you are to go through your hindrance. I don't encourage you to deal with it. Amen. Well, amen. Our desire to run and finish well is what should motivate us to deal with hindrances. Refusal of detachment, that is allowing the hindrance to stay in our life. Listen, this is good. Allowing the hindrance to stay in my life and hold me back. And hold me down from reaching my full potential. To refuse to detach from that means that I love the hindrance greater than what I'm being hindered from. God help us. If I, Brother Ivan, am not willing to deal with something in my life, knowing God's people are not stupid. Knowing, if I'm not willing to deal with a hindrance and knowing it's keeping me from God's best, then if I'm not willing to deal with that, Brother Silas, then I am saying in action, I prefer this over the potential. I prefer this hindrance. I prefer the hindrance. That's why I'm not going to deal with it. There's people, I guarantee you, in this building tonight, guarantee you, there's things God put His finger on your life and you already know right now, I'm not dealing with it. Preacher, I don't care if you preach from Genesis to Revelations, my friend, and include the maps. There's things in my life I am not going to deal with. Oh, it's quiet. Y'all notice how quiet it is? I knew it was going to be that way. That's why I'm not discouraged. I mean, how could we shout over this? But it could lead us to that. It could lead us to that if we deal with hindrances in our life. Amen. Hey, we ought to get that attitude and say, hey, that's a hindrance. It's keeping me from reaching my potential. It's keeping me from God's best. It's keeping me from advancing. It's keeping me from growing. It's keeping me from enjoying and experiencing God's best. So I'm going to deal with it. My flesh don't want to deal with it. And my friends may not even want me to deal with it. But I'm dealing with it. I'm tired of being the same old, same old, same old, same old. How many people have been saved years and they're still on the same level that they were 3, 4, 5, 10 years ago? I don't find in the Bible where the path of the righteous ever levels out. God is wanting to take us higher and higher and further at the bigger and better things. Amen. Why would we want to clear us out a little spot and say, I shall not be moved? No, we ought to say, God, it's been good this far. I look back and see where I got saved and I thought, hallelujah about being saved. Glory to God about being saved. I look at that, Lord, and I thought, my soul, that's wonderful. That is such a wonderful thing. And it is. Yeah,
Not was. Is. Hello. Is. Salvation is a wonderful thing. It is. Boy, I get saved, and boy, I get saved, and you know what? I say, glory to God, I'm glad I passed from death unto life. I'm glad I stepped out of bondage into liberty. I'm glad I stepped out of darkness into light. I'm glad, amen, that I went from opposing God. Now I'm on the side with God. And if God be for us, who could be against us? God, it's good to be saved. But I found out being saved just the start. I found out being saved just the beginning. And so God, the Holy Spirit, begins to lead me as well as you. He begins to lead us and develop us and mature us. And we, it's not that we're leaving salvation, we're growing from it, just like a root and a tree. A tree don't leave its root, it grows from the root. And salvation is good and glorious and wonderful. We begin to progress. And the further we go, the better it's getting. Why would I want to stay back here, Brother Rob? When there's better things up through there. God saves us, my friend, to take us somewhere. Amen. In the book of Deuteronomy, He told the children of Israel, He said, I brought you out that I might bring you in. God won't bring you out if He don't have intention to bring you in. Amen. And I promise you what He brings you out of is not comparable to what He's fixing to bring you into. There's bigger and better things ahead for us. You say, preacher, when can you stop? When I get all the way to the house. When I get all the way to the house. Now, I'm not talking about the one on Holston Terrace. I'm talking about the one up yonder, praise God, beyond the Milky Way. My home. When I get there, then I can say, glory to God. Let's shout her out now. Amen. But in the meantime, we can deal with hindrances and we can go forward for the glory of God. What would happen to our young people if they would purpose today, God, I'm dealing with hindrances in my life. I don't care who likes me, who likes it, or who don't. I'm going with God. I'm going to serve God. My life's going to count for Jesus. And deal with hindrances in your life. Don't make excuses for them. Well, everybody else is doing it. Don't make excuses for them. Why would you want to do that when there is, in fact, it is in fact a hindrance? Huh? You think I'd be counted as a friend? You think I'd get a friendly write-up in the Rogersville Review if Miss Tara, my friend, was sick and she needed to go to the doctor? She was needing to go to the doctor, and the doctor was right there. And here I am. Move your glasses, sis. Here I am, said, you ain't going to this. I'm hindering you. I know your help's out there, and I know you're needing help, and I know the help's out there, but I'm hindering you. You said, preacher, you'd be a sorry something to hinder her from getting the help she needs. That's the way you ought to treat your hindrance. Your hindrance is standing between you and help. Your hindrance is standing between you and Him. Your hindrance is standing between you and heaven. Hey, not your entrance to heaven, but your enjoyment of heaven. Amen. That's good, isn't it? Well, I figure that's all we could handle tonight, or this morning. We've been talking about the complete removal. If we're going to deal with hindrances, there's the complete removal. Are we willing to deal with it? Amen. I can't make you do it. I'm not even going to try. I used to, Brother Ivan, when I first started preaching, I thought I was the Holy Spirit. Or I acted like it anyway. I'm serious. I spent all of my time trying to make people live right. I did. I'm talking about my first church. I spent half my time getting ulcers this big over other people and their carnality. Trying to get them to live right. That's a shame, isn't it? You ought not have to try to get somebody to live right. If they're saved, they should want to live right. Amen. Should be a desire. But one day I found out that's God's people. That's His business. That's His problem. That's His issue. I'm to preach to them, and I'm to point out things, and I'm to try to give advice and encouragement. I'm trying definitely to be an example, but I want to tell you what, friend, whether you do it or not is your business. Amen. I'm going to preach it, but whether you line up or not, that's entirely up to you. If, my friend, if you want to build a castle for all of your hindrances, have at it. I can't help it. Amen. If you want to tolerate them and just let them pile up in your life and say, well, one of these days we'll be in the big house and I can leave them all behind. Yeah, but we're headed to the judgment seat of Christ, friend. It's not a matter of just dying and leaving it all behind. We're headed to the judgment seat of Christ. And at the judgment seat of Christ, friend, every child of God is going to stand there and be judged for our works. And I'm going to tell you, that's not going to be a hallelujah time. The judgment seat of Christ is going to be a time of weeping. You say, preacher, I thought there wouldn't be no tears in heaven. That's after the great white throne judgment that takes place. You better believe we'll be when we face Jesus and realize all that we could have done and should have done and didn't do, my friend, and all of that. Listen, we'll be ashamed. I don't know if God's going to do this, but wouldn't you think it'd be something if God says, all right, look here what you chose. Here's your hindrances that you chose. And over here is what you was hindered from. There's what you chose. Look how insignificant and weak and feeble and fleshly and frail and nothingness that it is. Look what it hindered you from. This is really what I wanted to do. This is really where I wanted to bring you. This is really what I wanted you to experience. But rather, you chose the little flimsy hindrance in your life. Are we willing to deal with hindrances? Let's pray. Father, I've tried my best to mind you. Lord, there's no doubt in my mind you told me to preach this morning. And Lord, I ask you please to help us. Lord, we desperately need help tonight. I need it. Lord, I mean our life as a believer is going to be dealing with hindrances. Lord, there'll not come a time where we just got them all behind us and there are no more. Lord, there'll be hindrances. Lord, be attached to our life all the way home. Hindrances. Attitudes, actions, thoughts, words, habits, all kinds, Lord, of hindrances. Lord, in our life. God, it's a matter of are we willing to deal with them? Do we view them as a hindrance? God, help us to choose the access through the hindrance. Remove the hindrance and go through on to bigger and better things with God. Father, have your way this morning. Deal with every young person. Lord, every young person need to be in this altar this morning, the altar of surrender, submission, and say, God, here I am. God, here I am. I'm yours. I want to deal with every hindrance when they come in my life. If I don't have a hindrance today and I have one tomorrow, I'm going to deal with it tomorrow. I'm not going to let it stay in my life until another one comes and they start accumulating. I'm going to start dealing with them. They're gone. I'm going to lay them aside. I'm going to put a distance between us. I'm going to allow that separation between me and that hindrance to be as such as to destroy the union and fellowship between two objects. Father, have your way this morning. I know, Lord, we covered a lot of ground. But our Father, help people to get it and receive it. Lord, help people to look and see what they've got a hold of this morning. Let them see what they've got a hold of, what they're embracing. Are they embracing a hindrance? Or are they embracing a Him who's altogether lovely? Lord, have your way. Have your way, Lord. Deal with us, God. Deal with us. Lord, deal with us, Lord. Deal with every young person. Lord, please, don't let nobody make an excuse for their hindrances. Lord, please don't let nobody in the building, Lord, please don't let nobody, God, give an excuse for a hindrance to stay in their life. Oh, dear God, this world cannot match what you can do. The world can provide a hindrance. And the flesh and the devil certainly will provide a hindrance that will restrict and restrain and hinder us from enjoying the good things that your will and your word has in store for us. Have your way in Jesus' name.